From the good life in Lincoln, Nebraska, this is the Stop Chasing, Start Living show, where together we dig into the world of faith and finances to discover how God wants so much more for us than we could ever ask or imagine. I'm your host, Scott Ernstmeyer, so let's start living. I'd like to welcome you all to this very first episode, episode one of the Stop Chasing, Start Living show. My name is Scott Ernstmeyer, and I serve and have the privilege to serve as the Director of Ministry Development at Messiah Lutheran Church right here in Lincoln, Nebraska. And normally, I would have the privilege of serving as your host for this show, but today, as we get this podcast launched, I'm going to actually sit in the guest chair so that I can turn over hosting duties to our Director of Communications here at Messiah, Joe Newman. Joe, thank you so much for being here today. Why don't you tell everybody a little bit more about yourself?
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is fun. Well, originally, I am from Marshall, Texas, so you're going to hear that southern drawl come out. When I get passionate about something, it really sticks out.
It's outstanding, actually. Yeah.
I have a blended family of four. My husband and I, I've lived here for about 26 years now. So Messiah is definitely my home, even though I'm still, tied to my Texas, roots. But we have a blended family, Brian and I do. We have four kids, ages 23, 20, 17, and 10. Our youngest, our 10-year-old, she goes to school here at Messiah Elementary. She is a fifth grader, so she's on her way out the door and going into middle school at Lincoln Lutheran, so we're excited about that.
Yeah.
But, it's what brought us here to Messiah was our daughter. When she was little, we were looking for summer daycare, and some friends of ours that attend church here and who we worked with, they were like, you should check out Messiah. They've got a great program, and we did, and we liked it. She was thriving. Then we were like, well, maybe we ought to check out preschool, and did that. We enrolled her in preschool, and the next thing, we were rolling her into kindergarten, and Brian and I were like, can we do this? This wasn't in the plan, right. But as we all know, God provides.
Yep.
And so next thing is conversation we're having is, why are we not going to church here?
Mm.
Our daughter is here at school. She's doing well. She's loved on. We're loved on. Why are we not making this our church home? So we did eventually. I think it was like 2020 or so. And it's been great. Messiah has been here for our family. At one point, I was looking for a job, and there was work available here, helping out in the school office and being an aide to the PE teacher. And then one thing led to another, and now I am Director of Communications.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Be careful how you get pulled into that vortex, right?
Yeah. So it's been great. I love my job here. I'm a creative person. I love crafting my words and imagery and bringing home the message. Ministry work is a whole different ball of wax.
It is.
So I am really learning how to operate around here, but it's been great. But what's been exciting, in this role is getting to work with other ministry leaders like yourself. And I feel like we've been talking about this podcast, and I'm just so excited to see this get going.
Amen.
Messiah's overall arching theme right now is for 2025 is Messiah Unleashed, and we're doing intentional focusing on generosity. And my parents modeled giving. Brian's parents modeled giving. We know what that looks like, but there's a lot I didn't know.
Mm.
And so I'm excited that Messiah is taking that brave step into talking about generosity and what that looks like and what that means, having us take a step back and say, where are we at?
Mm.
Are we ones that don't know much about giving? Are we ones that, we give, but we're not, are we really giving first fruits?
Mm.
Or, we've been killing it at giving, but maybe we need to take a next step. So I'm excited that we've got resources that are going to be available to us to do that. And the podcast is one of those where we're going to get some great nuggets of information
kind
of help us in our generosity journey. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing your story. That's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. So in turn, tell me more about you, Scott.
Yeah. So super excited to be here and to get into this podcast world. With a little trepidation, sometimes you wonder if you really have that much you can say and share with people, but I'll let God work through that. I tell people regularly I'm living proof he takes care of idiots. So I'll just keep living that life. My background, I'm originally from Lincoln, Nebraska. I've lived here pretty much my whole life other than when I was at college. I'm married to an amazing woman, Sarah, for the almost 28 years. And I'm blessed to be the father of three daughters. And our oldest is actually going to get married later this year. So excited to add a son-in-law to the family as well. But I've served as a lifelong educator until this last summer. During that time, served in several capacities, teacher, coach, and then I was a school building principal for a period of time, and eventually served as the head of school over at Lincoln Lutheran as its executive director, and really enjoyed that role. I think I'm an educator at heart. I love being around kids, but I've also really enjoyed being around adults and understanding that learning goes on for a lifetime. And so about 10 years ago, I had the opportunity and blessing to go take some training through the LCMS Foundation. Really, that training was intended to better understand the process people go through when they do their estate planning. And as part of that, what does it look like to leave a legacy and just all the steps involved with that. And so in that training, we really just dug more into what is stewardship, what is generosity, and it really sparked in me a joy in understanding that better. And it caused me to pause. And I just distinctly remember, I think at the end of the training, driving, I was in St. Louis, driving back to Lincoln and thinking to myself, Lord, I feel like you're using me right now, or at some point you're going to use me to try to elevate the level of generosity in our community. And at the time I really thought that would be in my role over at Lincoln Lutheran and how I was serving there. And I, in my administrative roles, I'd always been a part of raising money. And so, okay, God, I get it. I serve in this role. I'm going to have a chance to maybe help individuals in their giving, but then maybe even with churches and their foundations and that kind of stuff in that role. And then really, I think over the last couple of years, I started sensing that maybe there was something different there for me in terms of what I was observing in the world, what that world of generosity really means, and what challenges sometimes people have stepping into that when we as churches, typically like average Joe church, typically churches maybe do a sermon a year on like Tithe Sunday or it's Ministry Blessing Sunday or whatever they choose to call it. And they talk about the importance of giving. And then it's done and they move on to their next sermon series and whatever else. And it ends up being very compartmentalized, very simple. If they choose to even do that, a lot of churches maybe don't even go that far. Maybe the older, smaller traditional churches. And so I've always felt that way ever since my training. And I've always felt like there's something more that churches can be doing. And I think really how I found myself into this role, our senior pastor, Pastor John, couple different times over the course of the last 10 years, I'm like, are we really doing enough? Or are there other opportunities we have? And I think that really opened the door for a conversation between the two of us. And I think, as we started to discover what possibilities could exist for Messiah in a role like mine as director of ministry development, I really started sensing God stirring in me this understanding that as I look around at people, including myself, even at times, it started to build this holy discontent in my heart around what money is doing in the lives of people, how the world causes us to chase and go get the next big thing, go buy the bigger house, go buy everything you see on TV. Every narrative in advertising drives us to consume everything. Mm-hmm. And it creates in us this anxiety, pressure, stress. I believe that is a tool that Satan directly uses to distract us from what God really wants from us in a relationship with Him. And so even as I was pondering jumping into this role and considering serving in a church setting, because Sarah and I have been members here at Messiah for nearly 28 years as well. And as I was wrestling through that, I had this holy discontent in my heart around people need help. I want to help people. Not because I'm trying to go raise money, but because I want to see what God can do when the roadblocks in faith are torn down. Typically, one of the most powerful roadblocks is our stuff.
Yep.
When those roadblocks can be torn down, what might God do in their heart? And then what's next after that? So that's what I see for people. That's where I want to be able to step in as an educator and somebody that cares for people. Mm-hmm. That's really where my heart exists in terms of wanting to be able to serve in this role and really be a blessing really beyond this role, even out into the community and the world.
Yeah, for sure. I'm hoping Messiah can set that example, you know, for others to start following. When we start helping our individual members of the church start looking at things a little bit differently from how God had planned and designed it for us, the opportunities are going to grow and open. I'm waiting to see how that's going to bleed into everything. So why is the topic of money and stuff so important to our walk as a Christian?
That's just a great question. You know, when you really dig into the process of growing in our faith, as we get exposed to what that relationship with God looks like, as the Spirit really starts churning in our hearts and motivating us to dig in and dig into Scripture and all those kinds of things, you know, I just believe there's this very real process of surrendering that takes place through that.
And that's a hard thing to do.
It's hard. It's hard. We grip so much so tight, and it's really hard to let go. And I would share a personal story in that world for me. When I was getting more serious in my dating relationship with Sarah, she had gone off to an FCA retreat weekend, came back, and had purchased a book and gave it to me as a gift. And the book itself was a series of testimonies at the time, and it's for the younger crowd out there, former NBA stars that were playing in the league at the time or had just finished up their playing days. And so this was way back in the 90s, so most of those names probably are hardly recognizable anymore, but people that I'd watched on TV. And I started reading through this book, and the testimonies were kind of describing how these different stories unfolded for each individual about their discovery of like where are they at in terms of their true relationship with Christ. Is it going anywhere, or was it just a seed and really hadn't started yet? And you just saw story after story after story where, you know, people dedicating their life to Christ and kind of the change that then happened in them. Mm-hmm. You know, and I grew up in a Lutheran church and believed in Jesus, sat in the same pew every Sunday. I think I acolyted about 85% of the time because, you know, if we were there early, we got to step in sub duty.
Yeah.
But so growing as a Christian was in my world, but I don't think I really understood what that meant.
Yeah.
I wasn't really in the Word daily. There's a lot of things that help you grow and be discipled that really weren't a part of my life yet. And I vividly remember that night laying on my bed and recognizing the fact that I hadn't taken my relationship with God very seriously. Mm-hmm. It was kind of an assumption. It was a sidebar, and I hadn't really stepped into this space of like, this is my relationship with God. He's calling me to this. What is my next step in terms of just that growth?
Yeah.
And I just bawled for about a half an hour. I was like, just the Spirit just said, this is what I want for you. Mm-hmm. And it was such a powerful moment. And where that played out for me almost immediately is I played college basketball. And anybody that played with me would say that I was probably one of the more competitive people that ever stepped on the court with them. And I always wanted to win. I always wanted to be the best on the court. I always wanted to get advantage of the person I'm playing against. And that just drove me. But where it drove me was to this space where I was not finding contentment in the game. And I found myself probably about halfway through my college career having almost lost the joy of basketball. Mm-hmm. And it was at about this time where this next step in my journey with Christ really began to launch. And it took me almost breaking down in basketball through a couple different experiences where I had to acknowledge, like, this isn't about me. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I surrendered that and I let go and I acknowledged, I've been given all these gifts from God. I've had this opportunity to just play a game that I love. As soon as I let that go, the joy of basketball came back immediately. And I was able to play with a spirit that was so much more free. And so that's probably a really strange sports analogy to life. But I think that's what God calls us to, is when he works in us through his Spirit to be motivated to take that next step and really grow in our relationship with Jesus.
Yeah.
There's a surrender that has to take place. There's a letting go. And it starts with almost the core, you know, whatever is like almost your core motivation in life. Like, he wants to start peeling that stuff away and say, it's not you, dude. It's not you, buddy.
Yeah.
It's about me. It's about our relationship together. And so you have to like kind of look back at your history, like what has motivated me in life. And you have to start just laying things down. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that even includes the time and how we spend our days and the things that we we fill our days with. You have to start surrendering those things. And when you think about the busyness of life today, you know, that's an important step to be able to say, all right, I have to ask God to bless the decisions and choices I'm making with my time. Because I only have one day at a time, and I only have one life to live.
Right.
Honestly, our time on this earth is pretty short, you know? And so it's like, how do we find that space to be available to Him and let go and let Him work through us? And so when it gets into the topics of money and finances and what Scripture says about that, and clearly I think it's the reality that most people would say is like one of the last things we surrender is our stuff.
Right. We got a tight grip on our stuff.
We do. And I think that is...
It's unhealthy.
It starts when we're a little kid and we learn the word mine. Mm-hmm. And it goes from there. And ultimately, you know, what I see, and it's been a struggle for me in my life, it's like there's just so much of a selfish nature that we have in our human sinful nature that says, I want to compete. I want more. Yeah. I want the best or whatever that looks like for us personally, whatever that narrative is, that impacts how we can access our relationship with God. Because if it's standing between us and God, if my stuff is between me and God in terms of that relationship, I can't fully know Him.
Right.
It's not what He wants for me. He wants me to understand that stuff really doesn't matter when it boils right down to it.
And it's so short-lived that that whatever you're acquiring or you think you need, that moment of satisfaction is very short-lived. But when you're following Him... It's long term.
Yes.
I mean, it's for the long haul.
Yep.
And it's so much more fulfilling.
Absolutely.
But it's like, how do I get to that point?
Yep.
And it begins with surrendering. And that is a very, very difficult thing for us humans to do.
Fully. Yep.
So next question. What are your overall goals for this show, Stop Chasing, Start Living?
Yeah, great question again. And I think, you know, I'll circle back around just a little bit to the idea of surrendering. You know, one of the things that as I've dug into this whole topic of money and generosity and stewardship and what this all looks like, I think one of my foundational verses that I've really come alongside of and recognize that it starts in this space, you know, in 1 Chronicles 19, they're getting ready to dedicate and build out this awesome new tabernacle, and all these people brought all this stuff, and David goes to pray and dedicate all this stuff that came in, and essentially, you know, what he says is, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and in the earth is yours." So when you think about that concept of surrendering, it has to start with understanding stuff isn't mine anyway.
Right.
And so everything we do in this show, as you talk about goals for this show is, it all starts at that spot. Like, nothing's mine. It's just not. And when I recognize that God actually made me to get to manage all that He gave me, whether that's the stuff or whether that's my time, whether that's even in my talents, whatever that looks like, God has opened the door for me with everything He's blessed me with, not mine, His. And He says, I'm letting you make decisions and choices about how to use this and how not only you need to use it to provide for yourself and your family, but how are you going to use it to be a blessing to others? Again, not just your stuff, but everything about you, everything He's made me to be.
Right.
And so when I think about a show like this, we'll talk about money on this show and sometimes we'll really dig into that topic, but it's going to be way more than that. It's really intended to walk alongside each one of us as we're developing and growing in our faith of understanding more what God wants for us as we walk in today's world, as we fight against some of the stuff Satan's throwing at us. And ultimately, really to be a blessing through that. And, you know, when you think about the topic of stewardship and finances, like, you know, when you really dig in biblically, like, I want to be able to peel away some layers with that and help people really understand what God intended for that process and really what Scripture says about it. How can we learn about that? And then how do we apply that in 2025 or beyond about what that really looks like in our lives and making sure that we're leaning in to what God really designed and intended for all of that? you know, and ultimately, you know, I think there's opportunities for each one of us to be challenged and to grow every day in that. Like every day we have a chance to say, all right, Lord, today's your day. What would you have me do with it?
Right.
I had an opportunity to be exposed to a phrase in the last probably 4 or 5 months. My wife listens to a podcast and one of the podcasters shared just a short little phrase and it has just stuck with me. How do you help people understand that they're rich enough to be generous?
Mm-hmm.
And really what the context of that really wasn't even about money. He was talking about right. A lot of times we come to church on Sunday morning, we want to be fed, we want to sing the songs, we mm-hmm. want to hear great sermons. We want it to just build us up and then we're ready to go out into life and do things. And oftentimes we just sit on that receiving end of that. And the challenge he was making was at what point are you ready to turn around and invest in others
right.
because God has invested in you and other
He's
people.
He's fueled you.
Yeah.
Now go out and...
And so there, we all have this richness that we don't, I think Satan distracts us from understanding just how much we have.
Yeah.
And then what opportunities we truly have to share that out with other people. And so ultimately through this show, you know, I want it to be practical. I want it to be real. I want it to be an encouragement to people. I want it to make people kind of dig and think a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then ultimately start walking through kind of their next steps in how God is challenging them to grow as a Christian. And certainly in their heart of generosity, whether that is stuff, mm-hmm. whether it's their time or whether it's how they choose to serve into the community, you know, whatever that looks like that's my motivation.
Yeah. And then I'm sure that's just going to lead to more wonderful things in people's lives. You
yeah.
know, it's just being brave enough to take that step. I know for Brian and I, we're being very vulnerable in this process, but to be perfectly honest, we've done some great things. We've saved for our retirement. We've saved for our children's college education. We pay our bills. But we get very distracted by consumption.
Mm.
And day to day, sometimes we're like, we kind of went overboard.
Is there going to be enough?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or can we get by? And I'm just tired of living that way. And one of the things that you're going to hear at Messiah is, you know, being all in.
Mm.
And we want to be all in. I don't want to complicate things anymore. I always say we humans, we really complicate something that was so simply designed for us that we can muck it up like no other. But I very much want to be all in. And one aspect of that is focusing on what our finances look like. We have been given plenty.
Mm.
You know, we've been given hardships. We've gone through hardships.
Sure.
But when I truly surrender to the situation and say, this is not mine to fix at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've got to trust that God's going to take care of me because he said he would. It may not be what I want, but it's not about me. It's
for
about
sure.
what he wants for me. So he might have me go through this path that I'm like, I am not sure about this. But if I trust in him, he's going to be on the other side of this meeting me and I'm going to have grown from it.
100%.
So I'm hoping as we kind of dive into this generosity journey, using the podcast as a means of helping people, we're also going to be offering Financial Peace University mm-hmm. as an option. Mm-hmm. These are things that we can start picking up, taking up during Lent and exploring how we can get on a better track. And I really feel like once Brian and I, you know, address where we're at and start looking at some ways to improve in those areas and start giving those first fruits, it's really going to blossom for us in our life.
It does. And it really, you said a word in there that is key to this whole process. It's the trust. It's
mm-hmm.
Just had a wonderful person that I had a chance to meet with here in the last couple months. Just ask the question, do we really understand what it means to trust God?
Yeah.
And once that trust is there and an understanding that it's his anyway, and he's the ultimate provider, like he's already given me everything I have.
Right.
Now I can step into this space of peace and joy. Like you talked about all the things that you had as goals with retirement and have to pay the bills and these kinds of things. Oftentimes people look at their giving to church kind of as another bill to pay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the space God wants for us. He,
right.
again, God doesn't need our money, but what he wants to see in us is that we would test him and say, God, I trust you. So I'm giving you, I'm
yeah.
giving to you. out of what you've already given to me.
Right.
I'm going to trust you're going to take care of me. And then once we step into that space, there's a joy that he starts to generate in our hearts, because then we can actually kind of start having fun with the giving. We can start seeing opportunities for it. We can start seeing how it blesses other people. And that's a space that I don't think Satan wants us to get into, because if we really start enjoying the giving journey and the giving process, lives are changed and more people are impacted for the gospel. And so I think but it starts with that seed of trust.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I can't wait to release this grip that I've got.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
So when we've been talking about this podcast, I know you've been thinking about a lot of people you want to talk to. Our pastors have been doing a great job of sharing about their generosity journey, being very open about that. Other leaders have as well. I know you've got a lot of people lined up and a lot of great topics. So who's coming up next?
Yeah, I'm super excited for where this show can go. And there's so many people that are so much smarter than I am. So, you know, I look forward to bringing a lot of different people in and sharing from their perspective. And again, not only in faith and finances, but in life and how that's impacted them. And because I think everybody's journey, it's an opportunity for us to hear ourselves in that story and say, okay, maybe I'm more normal than I think.
I can relate to that.
I can relate to that 100%. So yeah, I'm excited about that and to see where this all goes. But our episode that we're going to do next, our next show, is actually going to be inviting in Pastor Dustin Lappe, and he and I are going to dig into really discovering how God is the best example of giving, like what he has done for us is this example that helps us to better understand what giving is all about and how we can impact others around us. And so as we think about that, one of the things with this show that we want to do at the end of every episode is have a Start Living Challenge.
Yeah.
And so the challenge that I'm going to leave our listeners with today is that as you reflect on your life, where has God really shown up and blessed you? Where has he shown his giving nature in your life? As you think about God and his presence and where he shows up every day, once you really start looking for that, that motivates in us this opportunity to think about how we can love others the way he first loved us. So we're going to dig into that topic and really dig into God's heart and what that looks like for our lives. And I'm super excited about that.
That's great. Well, I really appreciate you having me start this first episode. And I hope this is helpful for people as they listen and are excited to join you in this. And I wish you all the best. And thank you for having me.
Thanks, Joe. It's been great. Look forward to the next episode.
All right. Take care.
Take care.
Thank you for tuning in to Stop Chasing, Start Living. This has been a production of Messiah Lutheran Ministries. Make sure you subscribe to Messiah Lutheran on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen so you never miss an episode. Want to learn more about Messiah Ministries? Visit us at messiah.us. Our goal is to be a resource to you as you grow in your relationship with Christ and in your generosity. If you would like to connect with Scott, please send an email to scott.ernstmeyer@messiah.us. Thanks again for listening. Now let's start living.